Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Iran, providing Iranian-American perspectives on current events and policies that shape U.S.-Iran relations and affect the Iranian-American community. This program is brought to you by the National Iranian-American Council, otherwise known as NIAC. I'm Nobar Elmi, and I'll be your host. I'm here today with Dr. Sara Vakhshouri. Sara was born and raised in Iran. She was a former advisor to the director of the National Iranian Oil Company International and also worked for the Petro Energy Information Network and the Iranian Ministry of Petroleum. She's also worked in the private energy sector in Iran, and currently Sara is the president at SVB Energy International. Thank you, Sara, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me today.
Sara, in one of your articles, you talked about two previous failed attempts at pressuring Iran through the use of oil embargoes. Can you please tell us about how these previous examples may leave people questioning the effectiveness of the oil embargo being enacted by the European Union?
The use of oil embargo to put pressure on Iran was first used more than 50 years ago when Iran nationalized its oil. At that time, Anglo-Iranian Oil Company, today known as British Petroleum, announced an oil embargo against Iran, and Japan was the first country to send its ships to Iranian water to purchase refined petroleum product, and other countries followed Japan. The second incident was after the revolution in Iran, which United States announced that they were going to stop buying Iranian oil. At that time, U.S. was the major consumer of Iranian oil, importing more than 500,000 barrels of oil a day. It took a few months, but Iranian could finally find substitute for U.S., so they found a substitute customers. However, during this time, it's very interesting that the Iranian crude oil price increased above the same quality of crude oil, and the reason for that was American refineries were set to Iranian crude oil, and it would take them some time to adjust themselves with the new type of crude oil. Now, regarding the current oil embargo, although European Union and U.S. are trying to put tight limitations on Iranian oil export, but it does not seem to be effective 100%. And the reason for that is the sheer amount of Iran's daily export, and there's not any alternative in the market currently to be able to cover it completely for mid to long term. EU's purchase from Iran is around 500,000 barrels of oil a day, and if they stop purchasing this amount from Iran, this country could redirect its oil to another market. And how this is going to happen, simply because another supplier has to void the Iranian oil gap in European Union region, and then the same amount that has been redirected to EU, there should be somewhere that could be a potential market for Iran. Also, if the suppliers void the Iranian oil gap in the European Union by increasing their production, Iran can still count on China as a potential customer. China currently finished building the first phase of its strategic petroleum reserves, which has a capacity of 90 to 110 million barrels of oil. And if Iran export the same amount of oil that sends already to EU, the same amount daily to China, it takes 160 days to 200 days of discounted crude oil for China to fill its strategic petroleum reserves. Therefore, as we see, it's not so easy for the EU to put oil embargo on Iran with 100% of effect. Iran might need to offer its oil with discounted price, but the steel, if the oil price is raised due to the tension in the market, Iran is not going to lose a lot by offering lower prices over the higher prices.
Okay, so you already outlined kind of the situation and how it may not be effective in applying pressure on the Iranian government. But in addition to that, this EU embargo is a gradual and phased-in embargo. So it's going to be implemented on July 1st of this year. And that is therefore giving both the EU and Iran, you know, time to figure things out, so to speak. So what are the Iranians then doing to prepare in order to prevent their economy from collapsing and making sure they constantly are having their customers? And conversely, then what are those countries who used to be consumers of Iranian oil doing to make sure their oil needs are still met?
That's a very good point. The European Union, they gave a few months before implementing the sanctions. And the main reason for them was to adjust themselves and get ready to adjust the refinery with new type of crude oil, to finding alternative suppliers, because if they wanted to implement the sanctions immediately, they would shock themselves with the prices.
Right.
However, this gap also gave time to Iranians to prepare themselves to find substitute customers and new markets for their crude oil. For sure, we cannot deny the impact of any type of sanctions on any economy, particularly if the sanctions is targeting the oil export of a country that depends nearly 80% of its revenue on its oil revenue. However, the main question is that is the current sanctions are going to lead a collapse in Iranian economy or not? Although we currently have seen some reactions of Iranian economy to the sanctions, but I don't think this is going to cause a collapse in Iranian economy. And the reason for that is what I mentioned. In the last 50 years, Iranians have faced this problem a few times. Mm-hmm. And this is very interesting to consider that currently Iranian officials, not only psychologically, are ready to face this problem, but also technically are more prepared than before. One of them is Iranian National Tanker Company. This company has the largest tanker capacity in the Middle East. And this gives an opportunity to Iran to deliver its oil using its own tankers or using them as a floating storages to deliver oil to other ships in the international waters, while the insurance limitations are facing tankers that are coming to Iranian water to purchase its oil. Also, Iran, in order to get around the financial sanctions against its central bank, could use the barter system with its customers. This is the same system that Iran has once experienced it in the less than 30 years ago during the war with Iraq. On the other side, we have European countries that are currently facing economic crisis, and they are very vulnerable to very high oil prices. Changing the feedstock from Iranian crude oil to another type of crude oil would be very costly for European refineries, considering that currently they have a very low margin of profit. It is estimated that this refinery might need an average of 4 million euros for each refinery to set themselves to a new crude oil type. And Saudi and Russian oil are currently the best substitute for Iranian oil, but the reports on the inventories and available spare production capacity in the market suggest that there is not enough substitute to cover Iranian share in the market more than 10 to 20%. So if Iranian daily export drops more than 20%, it's going to be very hard to find a sustainable alternative for Iran's export. Although Libyan production has been improved in the market, but still we have Syria, Sudan, and Yemen that the production has been dropped due to the political tension in these countries. And the countries that we're counting on them, on their spare capacity, has been released to certain amount in the market to void the gap of other countries' supply. So therefore, as I mentioned, this means that market could not tolerate a huge drop of Iranian crude oil drop. Also, on the other side, we have Japan. Japan, after earthquake and the tsunami of last year, has only two nuclear power plants out of its 54 nuclear power plants working. And those two are already scheduled for annual inspections. Therefore, any jump in the prices could threaten Japan's energy security. That's why I don't think there's going to be, I don't think it's very easy to make a balance between pressuring Iran by targeting its oil export mm-hmm. and maintaining a balance in the energy market.
Okay. And, you know, the whole point of this embargo is to spur changes in the government's stance over its nuclear program. That's why the U.S. has been applying a lot of sanctions. That's why the EU has jumped in as well. Obviously, you've alluded to this, but do you think the EU will be successful? I mean, do you think overall, I know you say it may not have an effect on Iran's economy the way that people were saying, but do you think it'll have an effect on their mentality when it comes to the nuclear program, especially now with the P5+1 talks scheduled to take place in Baghdad at the end of this month? I mean, do you think that they'll be able to change, the Iranian government will change their stance when it comes to their nuclear program?
Well, I feel that at this moment, the two sides have reached to an understanding that the best solution is the diplomacy for solving the problems. But in order to have a successful diplomacy, we need to have a satisfying result for the both sides. On the other hand, we should have a win-win situation. If both sides try to push back the red lines, they could reach to a point that they could agree on it. But I don't think any type of pressure could be useful to convince one side, in this case Iran, to completely compromise on the red lines. Nevertheless, I'm more interested in the result of these talks on the global energy market and the prices, because I feel that Iranians also are very much aware that although these sanctions have a negative effect on their economy and oil revenue in the long term especially, but they are also aware of the fact that the global energy market, the prices and the global economy is not ready to impose 100% of oil embargo against Iran. Then that's why I think naturally if negotiations go well, I mean, between the two countries, there's going to be a good effect, a downward effect on the prices and vice versa. And the reason for that is I can just refer to International Monetary Fund's latest report that it was released a few days ago that they were suggesting that Iranian threat for the stability of the market is far more than its supply interruption. Iran's control over Strait of Hormuz and proximity to other oil production and export facilities of other major oil-producing countries in the neighborhood would cause a huge negative effect if there is going to be a war or a major threat against Iran. Therefore, this report is very much concerned about the negative impact of Iranian oil sanction on the global economy. And I think Iranian officials also are aware of this fact. I believe that the two sides have to push back their red lines and compromise a bit, but I don't think that these type of pressures are going to change Iranian attitude toward their nuclear program completely.
What, if any, are the unintended consequences of this oil embargo?
As I mentioned earlier, I don't believe that these sanctions could shut Iranian oil export completely. Not because of the unique nature of oil market and Iran's political geopolitical location that makes it impossible to stop the oil export from this country completely, but also because of the huge negative impact on the oil prices, lack of alternative in the market to supply Iranian share totally, completely in the market. I mean, currently we have OPEC inventories, let's say it's 2.5 million barrels a day, which is 33% less than last year. But if they release all this capacity to avoid all of Iranians' supply gap in the market, then there is not going to be enough spare capacity for any future supply interruption. I think with the high vulnerability of global economy to high oil prices, in order to keep the market stable, we cannot really afford to have more than like 10 to 20% of drop in Iranian oil production, Iranian oil export. And at this amount, we would not have significant amount of Iranian economy. If Iran's export drop for 10 to 20%, this is not going to lead any collapse or huge shock for Iran's economy. And the reason for that is simply the higher oil prices will make a balance on Iran's revenue.
Okay, well, thank you again, Sara, for being with us today and talking to us about this very important issue.
Thank you.
For more information on Sara and SVB Energy International, visit the website at www.svbenergy.com. And as always, please be sure to visit NIAC online at www.niacouncil.org.